down in Rathaus. And down this awkward place to sit down.
My name is Steve Martin. It's Tuesday, the 25th of August, 1998, and I'm sat in the farmhouse at Smale Farm, and I'm talking to my mother. Now, Mum, you were, you're Isabel Martin now, but you were a caller from the Cronk.
Yes.
But were you born at the Cronk, or?
No, I was born in Ballacotia House, down in Andrews, near the Ballacomine Methodist Chapel. And I was born there a year and 4 months after Eleanor, and then when my sister Hilda was born 3 years later, we moved up to the Cronk.
So who'd been in the Cronk before that then?
My grandfather and Auntie Elsie. She'd been looking after him, and they moved to the, well, my auntie had been at the Rees-Mohr near Ramsey, and my grandfather went to live with her. I think he was at the Cronk for a short time as we moved in, but he had been lamed by the kick of a horse. He used to go around with a stick, and afterwards he suffered a stroke. But I can't remember anything of the move. I can only remember being there.
And so it was just the three sisters, the two boys?
They were, Neil was born 3 years after Hilda, and then John was born a year and 8 months after that. And then my father died when I was 13. I was born in 1927, so it was just the first year of the war, but it wasn't because of the war, it was a short illness and he died. So that was a big change then.
And your mother, I mean, how did she run the farm then?
Well, Mr. Arthur Curley helped 1 year, and my uncle Tom Neal helped another year. She would have liked to have given up, but they wanted her to keep on. So
who was Arthur Curley then? He was
a blacksmith, and he'd been appointed a trustee jointly with my uncle. Billy Howland used to work at the Cronk. He worked for long years, but he stayed 1 year after my father's death, and then some others came. Well, George Cayley was one person who came to work for a while.
So how many people would be working up there then?
Well, there'd be only one or two. We used to have sometimes used to have the German, or the prisoners of, you know, there were the aliens, as we called them. They were down in the Moor Promenade. They'd taken all the boarding houses to house these people, and they would be taken out to any farms to work picking potatoes and things like that. Sometimes we had land girls helping. But we all had to work in the holidays and at school, because there was a lot to do, getting in the sticks and feeding the chickens and gathering eggs, and also cleaning the paraffin lamps, because my father had been able to generate electricity, but when he died nobody understood it and it all went wrong, so we had to go back to lamps. And then there was a blackout during the war, and everything had to be blacked out.
And you all went to school at Andreas?
Yes, we used to, first of all, we walked sometimes. My father would take us on the motorbike. I would sit on the petrol tank and Eleanor would sit on the back and we'd get a ride down. And then my father bought a car. When it was a bad day, he would take us in the car. And these were these old box-like cars. And I admit, well, I was told that there was the handle for opening the door was kind of like a stick protruding up, almost like looked as if it was made of agate or something. And I pulled this when I was in the car on my own, and I was thrown out. And my father didn't notice I was gone until he got home. And then he came back to look, and there I was lying on top of a hedge. But that was the way. And, but we learned to ride bicycles. And all the people from school used to travel along the road at that time used to walk together, and we used to be riding my bike, and I used to be walking often, and it used to take a long time to get home from school.
Was it my memories of the road up to the Cronk? It was always a terrible road. Was it always a bad road? Or was it?
Well, they used to always dig the ditches and keep it drained, but it was stony and half a mile long. At times we had to drive stock on our way to school. And I remember Eleanor and I having to drive pigs down the road to Ballaloch, where they had some fields. And they went in down Runnell's Dub, and that they wouldn't come out, just at the edge. And we were throwing stones, and eventually we got them out and proceeded on our way, but we were late for school. And we got a good telling off, because Miss Searle said we should have started in plenty of time. And I was given a slap on the legs for having dirty shoes. And another time I remember driving calves down and one kicked me on the leg. But you see, there wasn't water laid out in the fields, and there was a good dub down at Ballaloch. Of course, this was before all the houses were built at Ballaloch. But they had, the Air Force had built a building there that was a dual purpose for gym, and for used as a gym, and also used as part of it as a church. That's been made into a recreation hall now. But a lot of buildings were getting built at that time because this was made into an aerodrome. And it was called a dispersal site, so that not all, if the bomb landed, they wouldn't all be killed. So there'd be a direction finding hut up our bumpy road, and there'd be also huts housing all different men who would have different hours. And the buses used to be packed full with these Air Force as they came home from the first house of the pictures, because they'd be on duty. So Andrews was a very busy place when the war started, with the aerodrome and the hospital site. That's all been made into a housing estate now. That's Orchard Park, Orchard Close now. So and then people had been, after the war, they'd been rehoused in those huts, many of them made into living accommodation. But,
so what were all the huts? I can remember as you went up the Cronk Road on your right, were there all various huts as you went up there on your right hand side?
Well, there was a whole lot of huts together on the right hand side, the second field up, but then there was one on its own further on, and this was a direction finding hut, and they used to have to come up to the Cronk to get water. We had a tap inside the door back kitchen, but you had to pump water into a tank to fill the tank up before it would fill up and you could turn the tap on and get water. And one chap came to the door and he said he couldn't pump because he didn't understand the mechanism. So my mother showed him what the mechanism was. It was just an excuse not to do any work. So,
I can remember as a kid being up at the Cronk, and there was Joe Kamesh. Used to come up the Cronk. Did he work there, or?
Well, he worked at Brostford Farm. He lived. He had a house nearby, and he used to work for. I can't remember the name of the man he worked for, but he farmed Brost.
Nice.
I'll remember it later on.
Yeah. And then you girls, well, you all went to Andrea's school, and what happened then? Neil stayed home on the farm, and...
Well, we all went to Andrea's school in those days. You'd sit for the scholarship when you were 11, and we all passed and went to the grammar school, but there was an entrance exam, and you could pass that and go and be paid, if you paid, but many people wouldn't pay the pound or two required per term, because they thought it wasn't essential to learn French and Latin, to read turnips and that sort of thing. So we all went, and my mother was unusual in insisting we had further education, because often girls were kept home for company, and but she had been sent away to school in Liverpool at a time when there wasn't a grammar school in Ramsey for girls. There was for my father. He went to the grammar school in Ramsey. He used to go cycling, I think, on a Monday morning, and then stay all the week in lodgings at the riverside in Ramsey, and then used to cycle home Friday night. I don't think the roads were made up, they're pretty hard. But my mother could have gone to the school in Douglas, that was Douglas High School, for both boys and girls, but it would have meant walking from Jerby, where they lived, to Balaff Station, then getting on the train, changing at St John's, then going to Douglas Station and walking to Park Road where the school was. So it was easier for her and her sister and brother to go away and stay with an aunt and uncle who were bakers in Liverpool. So my mother she went to what was called Blackburn House, the part of the Liverpool Institute, Blackburn House for Girls. It had been given by the Holt shipping family, so he had called it Blackburn. It was Blackburn House named, he had named it. Or it was their house, I'm not sure. But my aunt went on to get a degree at Liverpool University, but my mother came home and married her farmer. My father had been sent away to Glasgow to learn engineering, but he got homesick and come back home. So we three girls, my sister went to be articled to a chartered accountant, helped by a teacher, Mr. Corbett, at the grammar school. And my sister and I went to Edgehill College.
It was you and Ellen that went away?
Yes, Ellen and I went away. And Neil left school and was helping on the farm and eventually took over. And the younger brother, John, well, he joined up, and then he went to college and trained as a teacher, PE, I think, and woodwork. So, and then I taught in Liverpool for some years, and Eleanor, my sister, taught in Manchester.
What was it like teaching in Liverpool at that time? What was?
Well, I was teaching 1 year in Dovedale Road Infants, and at the same time there'd be two of the Beatles in the junior at that time, because it was near Penny Lane and near Queen's Drive. And after 1 year, your probation year, I went to teach at St. James's School. This was opposite the cathedral, but it has been pulled down since. And there was a playground on top of the school and a little one behind the school. And I had 52 children in my class, and if there was another teacher absent, you had some of hers too. So it was hard work, and I used to cycle from, I used to be in digs, as we call them, lodgings, up near the Mystery, which is a park, and Edenfield Road off, that was near Penny Lane, near Grant Avenue, and off, I forget the name of the road, near Ollis Road, Smithdown Road, and used to cycle down across Princess Avenue down to the school to teach, and cycled back again.
Do you remember you saying sometimes you used to go to the watch Liverpool football matches too, or was that just a one-off? Or?
Oh, I went a couple of times to watch football. In those days, they used to make way for any young girls and let them to the front so that the chaps who were with us liked us to go, because then they got a better view. But, I would go to, I watched Speedway and used to cycle, go across to North Wales and cycle. And then I used to go to chapel on a Sunday, down Hall Drive if I wasn't away, and play in their hockey team.
So when did you come back to the Isle to teach then? When was?
Well, I was teach away for about 4.5 to 5 years. So Liverpool was being rebuilt then after all the bombing. When I was going away to college, we had to go to Fleetwood. And we used to queue for ages, oh, an hour or more at Douglas to get on the boat. And then you'd be up to Fleetwood, and if the tide was right, we'd get in. You'd go on the trains, and all the names of the stations were blacked out because they were expecting to be invaded. So we had several changes, and our college was at Bingley in Yorkshire at that time. But we had company, we always seemed to apply to colleges so that we'd have company to do the travelling, and people were sympathetic to that and used to allow different ones, the same school to supply ones for certain scholarships. I think the clearinghouse used to help in that way. But then I came to Andrea's. And there was three classrooms when I came to Andrews. That was before the rebuilding started. So Miss Frieda Moore was in the second class, and Mrs. Kelly was in the head teacher at that time.
So what? How many years did you teach at Andrews then?
I was only teaching about a year.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then I met and married Tom Martin, and we didn't have a house to live in at first, but stayed with my mother until Tom's father bought Gatawing and we moved there.
So how long then before you moved to Smale from Gatawing then you were?
Well, Margaret had been born, so it would be about 2 years. I know when Stephen was born, you were at Smale. So
who'd been in Smale Farmhouse before you came there?
There was Mrs. Moore and Mr. and Mrs. Moore and family who were working, who were workers on the farm, and they didn't want them to move out. But they got farm cottages built up across the road, and when they moved there, we moved into the farmhouse. And then George got married and he went to Gatawing, first of all, with Marjorie.
So then when Margaret was born and when I was born, I mean, we'd be born in the J. Krugel maternity home.
Yes.
But what about when your mother had all her five children then? Where were they born?
Well, they were born at home. My mother thought it was dreadful to go to a doctor to tell him that you were pregnant, just to get vitamins and things, because she had her babies with the help of Mrs. Klukas, who used to be the local midwife, and she used to come and attend the women and have their babies. I don't remember a doctor being involved until my younger brother John was born. I think they then decided that the local midwives shouldn't be allowed to deliver babies. And I remember Mrs. Farragher having her 12th baby in the Jane Crook Hall. They insisted she had it in the Jane Crook Hall, and she hadn't had a doctor before attending her, and she thought this was dreadful. She much preferred being at home. I had my first baby at that time, but we were becoming very conscious of health in this time, and the health of the babies, and being able to have, well, I had a forceps delivery for the first one, and of course they had everything there at the Jane Crook Hall. But it was a long journey up to Douglas, but it was amazing how quickly your father was able to get up. Although we had a puncture on the way when Margaret was going to be born. I can remember my Auntie Elsie holding the torch for him to mend the puncture. And her hand was shaking up and down, and I was laughing inside. I thought it was hilarious. It was, things certainly changed after the war about looking after babies. And
so what about in your mother's time, about the doctors and things then? I mean, did they, how many doctors were there for the area? Was it all based in Ramsey? And
it was based in Ramsey. I can just remember hearing about Dr. Dearden. And, they used to say that the country people came too late for the doctor, but they used to have a knowledge of herbs and local things that they... You didn't have a telephone to ring for the doctor. There was only one or two telephones in the village. No, we didn't have one. And you would have to go on the bicycle down, or if you had a car and could drive, you could go to the village and get someone to ring up from the post office there for help. But it was, and in my mother's time, of course, they went by on horseback, and they had, perhaps the doctor would have a horse and a carriage to go out to see the patients. They had cars when I was little, but it was unusual to have a doctor out. I can remember the doctor, Neil John McAllister, coming out to see, and my sister had diphtheria. She hadn't been inoculated, or her friend Vera Dugdale, but Miss Eleanor and I had been inoculated at grammar school, so we didn't take diphtheria, but my sister did, and she and Vera were moved to the White Hoe Isolation Hospital. And then my brothers, of course, were inoculated. But he came up, used to come up on that long, bumpy road to visit my aunt when my mother was looking after her. She broke her hip, and my mother looked after her until she died.
What about all the supplies, the shops and things? I mean, obviously there was the Andrea's stores and what have
well,
you.
Well, we didn't go to the village because we didn't have, the women couldn't drive. The vans used to come round with groceries. It used to be Leeson Corlett and Callow's, and used to come with their vans with all the provisions in, and your box of groceries, which my mother had ordered probably on the Monday, and used to take eggs as part payment. So we didn't shop in the village. So, and people, the bread used to be left at the neighbour's house at the bottom of the road, a whole sack full of white loaves, and we children had to carry them home on the bicycle. And the post used to be left, we used to have a box at the bottom, up on the hill, in the hedge used to be a box left there, and for the post to be left in, and any letters, and the daily paper we used to get sent, and then on a Saturday, we girls would take it in turns to go on the bus and go into Ramsey to get this big lot of papers. We used to get the Ramsey Courier, and there used to be the farm stock reader in those days. And every village house used to get, our farmhouse used to have the Christian Herald, and we used to have picture post at one time, and we had a lot of reading matter, and we always had loads of books in the house, so we did a lot of reading and playing card games, pencil games.
There was a balcony you used to go to, or was it the church? Or?
No, we went to Balcony Methodist Chapel, and at one time I played in the Sunday school, but then I went away to college. Then when I came back, Joe Neal was playing, and I think there was different people playing. Miss Ruth Farragher helped at one time, and then there was Irene Cleeter and another Isabel Collett, who used to live at Cundrofford. They used to play the organ, and I only started playing the organ in the chapel just before Christopher was born. So, and then Miss Doris Cameen came to help us. So that was good. But when I was little, I used to be taken sometimes with, and my mother would take me. I remember when we lived at Ballacottia House, my father was left in charge of me as a baby and Eleanor, and my mother went to chapel. And when she came home, she found my father had fallen asleep. Eleanor had wandered off and had been brought home by some people. She got quite a distance. And I don't think my mother was so keen on leaving him after that. But those were the days of the oil lamps and the furnace and the pipes going around the walls. It used to be great turnout, especially for the anniversary. We used to all have new clothes for the anniversary. The only time we went to Douglas was on the Sunday school picnic. That was a great occasion. We had the day either in Silverdale or Laxey Glen Gardens, we'd start off with, or Kirkmichael at Glen Willan, where there was a roundabout where somebody had to go in the middle and push it round by hand. And there was a boating lake where somebody invariably fell in. And then we'd head up for Douglas with bright lights and all the lovely shiny shops, and that was great. And we came home tired but happy.
Can you remember anything about them? I mean, down below the cronk, when Dad was talking about the Tatties, can you remember anything about?
Well, I can just remember Mrs. Tatty Cayley living.
Why was she called Tatty then?
I don't know if she was. And remember, we children picked violets because we knew she liked violets, and we went to her house and we went in and she gave us a bar of chocolate. That's all I can remember about her. So she seemed terribly old to we children, you know, girls. And we thought we were very daring walking down and going to see her.
So did you come down through the Reist then, or as we
called?
Yes,
we used to always pick blackberries in the Reist. And we used to, I think sometimes the cows would be taken down there for water, and then we used to have to drive them home, and they always had their order. There was always a boss cow who would have to go first, and they all knew their places. So there must be about four or five cows going up, because she used to milk for the house. My mother wouldn't allow me to learn to milk, because she said, if you don't know how, you won't have to do it.
And the Reist there then, is that just like common land, or is it
just common land to the people who owned Kirby's and the people who owned the old, what we call the old house field that was then owned by George Cayley, but the Cronk called it MacNeil's field then. And so it must have belonged to MacNeil.
Who's MacNeil then?
I don't know. But
so George Cayley then?
When he farmed the upper Cronk. Eventually, when Neil gave up farming, went to live in Liverpool, and the place was sold. I don't know, I think he must have bought it from these people. but the rights to the Reist was shared by Auckland people. Niels Auckland used to farm part of what we call Kerfies now. They had that land and they could water their cattle up there. Mr. George Cayley was working for them when I was going to school, and he used to give us a ride home sometimes in the cart. He told us he was a disciple of Jesus, and I remember coming home and saying that Mr. Cayley must be very old because he lived when Jesus lived. So he was very kind to us. It was, life was much slower in those days.